1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. For well over 2 hours, Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries has been making remarks on the House floor as lawmakers are inching closer to a final vote to pass the president's big tax and spending bill.
This reckless Republican budget is an immoral document, and everybody should vote no.
The June jobs report was just released and showed the economy added 147,000 jobs last month, down from May. The unemployment rate was down slightly to 4.1%. Federal government continued to lose jobs. Job gains were seen in state government and health care. Four people are dead, at least 14 injured from a drive-by shooting outside a nightclub in Chicago late last night. Street pastor Donovan Price.
People wanting to find their other people, find who was alive, finding who was, you know, where their phones were because they dropped them in the chaos.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. The months-long biennial budget process in Wisconsin is complete. Jimmy Cuska has the details.
At 1:32 a.m. Thursday, Governor Tony Evers signed the budget bill, now known as 2025 Act 15, into law. The bill passed the state Senate late Wednesday evening.
There are 19 ayes, 14 noes, and the bill is passed.
Then it was the Assembly's turn voting after midnight.
There are 59 ayes and 39 noes. Senate Bill 45 is concurred in.
The Assembly gaveled out at 12:49 a.m. Thursday, capping a marathon session to finish the state legislature's end of the budget process.
Wisconsin State Assembly is adjourned.
The budget bill passed with bipartisan support in both chambers. Assembly Representative and co-chair of the Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee, Mark Bourne, said that this year's budget came about the same way as other recent budget bills.
Every budget that has come through this committee since Governor Evers has been in office has been a bipartisan budget because Republicans have crafted most of it, which is still true with this document, and the governor has signed it.
Governor Evers said after signing the bill that he never seriously considered vetoing the entire budget, as it would have jeopardized over $1 billion in health care funding, as well as investments in child care, special education reimbursement, the UW system, and infrastructure. Evers issued 23 partial vetoes, several of them due to a lack of funding provided for the Nelson Knowles Stewardship Program. In signing the bill, Evers said that the compromise between both parties in the legislature, along with the governor's office, led to the creation of a bipartisan budget. Seven Democrats in the Assembly and five in the Senate voted to pass the budget. Four Republicans in the Senate and one in the Assembly voted against the bill. Evers touted the impact that the budget will have on families and said, quote, "The budget is proof of what we can all accomplish when we put politics aside." The final price tag on the budget is $111.1 billion.
The full budget bill and veto message is available on our website at civicmedia.us. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
The Mets beat the Miz. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers' Jacob Mizorowski was off to one of the best starts for a pitcher in the history of baseball. Last night, though, he ran into a little trouble, loaded the bases, then gave up a grand slam. The Mets beat the Brewers 7-3. Pat Murphy on why he had to pull Mizorowski out after 3 2/3 innings.
Ball wasn't coming off his fingers the same way. It was kind of like one time he let it go back here, the next time out here, and you could see he was pushing it sometimes, and his whole body was not in sync.
So now Mizorowski's record is 3 wins and 1 loss. Earlier in the day, the Brewers beat the Mets 7-2. Home runs by Sal Frelick, Isaac Collins, and Joey Ortiz hit his first career grand slam, giving credit to teammate Freddie Peralta.
You see it from the offense when the starting pitcher is doing what he can out there to get us back in to go swing. I mean, the offense usually stays locked in all game, and the process is more important than the results at times, so you just kind of got to grind through.
That's Brewers shortstop Joey Ortiz with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm later today and tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 60s. Tomorrow, sunny, hot, and humid with a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
Next up, you'll hear Matt Rothschild in the guest host chair helping you and your family gear up for a big July 4th weekend. He's got thoughts, and I want to hear them. So do you. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Bull Falls Radio, WXCO.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got a busy, busy show for you today. Mm-hmm. Jim Santel, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review Saturdays from 9 to 11 a.m. across the Civic Media Network. Jim Santel is going to be joining us, a former U.S. attorney, also an acting attorney. He still does lawyer things.
Does he play one on TV?
He doesn't have to.
No.
Because he actually is an attorney. So yeah. Jim Santel joining us after the 9:30 news next hour. After 10 o'clock, Trisha Peterson is going to be here from We Can. That is Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the Wisconsin budget and the compromise that has been reached as far as funding child care here in Wisconsin. Not everybody's happy.
No, and I know that their group is not thrilled about this. And when we booked Trisha, this was before it was signed, but even though now it's signed, it got signed at 1:32 a.m.
Yeah, it was an early deal.
We're still going to have the conversation on what they're looking to achieve and what they need going forward, because this looks like it's just kind of maybe a Band-Aid at this point.
Yeah, it's not a fix.
Yeah.
It's not a long-term fix. Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company will be here after 10:30 to talk all things sports. Lots of Buck news, Bucks news.
A lot of Bucks news. The Brewers are doing real well. They're doing better than we expected.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good time to be a Milwaukee sports fan.
It is. Absolutely. So stick around for Paul Noonan. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Bull by the Horn edition. Calvin found this one. It's another good one. You want to stick around for that. That will come up around 10:51-ish. Just a reminder, we are all off tomorrow. Tomorrow is the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. So we are going to have a specially curated best of show for you.
Yes.
And as part of that, the Free Ticket Fridays is going to happen.
Yes. Yes.
Even though it's the 4th of July and we're not going to be live, we are still doing Free Ticket Fridays tomorrow. So starting with Pat Kreitlow at 6 a.m. from 6 until 9, and then our show, 9 to 11. Tom Hartman, 11 to 2. Todd Alba, 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6. Each of us will have a word for you to text in via the Civic Media app, and then you are in the running for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers tickets, club-level seats.
For the July 11th game next week against the Washington Nationals. I keep on wanting to call them
the Generals.
Generals, which is basketball, and the Senators, which is like a 1920s team.
Right.
Yeah. So, if you hear that, word, that is a fresh word that is new, live, like you can text it in and it's going to be happening all throughout the day. Get that Civic Media app on your phone to participate, because you can only participate through the app, and spelling does count.
Yeah. Spelling counts. So they're not real complicated words.
You think not, but, you know, I've seen some interesting takes.
Well, and I think sometimes people are texting and, you know, yeah. you make finger mistakes and thumb errors, as it were. Thumbers.
Oh, no. I got a thumber.
I had a thumber. Yeah, so I think that's sometimes how those misspellings happen. Yeah. Speaking of the budget, we're going to spend a little time talking about, as you mentioned, Greg, the Wisconsin State Legislature did pass our biannual budget. Governor Evers signing it late, about 1:30 this morning. Governor Evers, after signing it, included 23 partial vetoes, including a provision that would have closed the Green Bay Correctional Institute. This is something that's been talked about for a long time.
Yeah.
Green Bay Correctional Institution should close. Evers wrote, on that much, the legislature and I agree, but it's not responsible to require to do so by a deadline absent a plan to actually accomplish that goal.
Long-term planning, folks. That's what it takes to get things done.
It's called looking at outcomes.
Yep. Yeah.
You know, if we do A, what is B and mm-hmm. what is C and what is D? It's called looking at potential consequences.
Yeah.
It's something I think is important. Is anybody surprised by this? I mean, when we talked about it yesterday, it pretty much was like, yeah, they're going to do it. They're going to sign it.
Oh, yeah. It
really was never in question.
No. And there have been plenty of vocal Democrats of the Assembly and the Senate who were against this, Francesca Hong, Chris Larson. I assume, based on her conversation with Kel DeRoy, she was not happy with it, but it did go through. One of the things that Senator Royce did talk about was budget repair bill, possibly next year, because we asked about the child care issue
right.
that we will talk more about with Tricia. So when it was reported, though, and I'm going to keep going back to this, it seemed like everyone was pretty happy. If you listen, Maggie Dawn talked to LaTanya Johnson, who sits on the Joint Finance Committee,
right.
and she very much touted that this was a good budget. It wasn't perfect. It wasn't the best. It wasn't exactly what they wanted, but it was better than what was being proposed the week before.
Better than bad.
It mitigated. I believe her words was it undid harm that was going to be in that budget, and that's a consequence of bringing the Democrats to the table so late. Had they done it a few weeks or a month earlier, we could have been in a different spot. But they waited and waited and waited until finally Dianne Hesselbein was invited to talk about it, and they got what they got. And so, I mean, it's not perfect. We know that. But I don't want to think about what a Robin Voss victory budget would look like.
Or a Republican governor.
Yeah, exactly.
If we had Eric Hovde sitting in the governor's mansion right now, we would be looking at considerably different things.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons I've seen this kicked around too this morning is, what's the rush? Why did we have to get this done? What's the rush? Why couldn't they have taken some more time?
Yeah.
This is tied into the federal budget.
Yeah, and I just saw a comment on the live stream. Right now we are talking about the state budget, not the national budget, which is a whole other nightmare to talk about.
That we'll get to in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're talking about the Wisconsin state budget.
Yeah.
So if Congress's budget had become law first, then Wisconsin could have lost out on more than $1 billion in federal funds to help the state pay for Badger Care assistance and then help hospitals offset losses from treating low-income patients. This is because of all the changes to Medicaid in the federal bill.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, we have to get this done before the Fed finishes their budget, or we're going to be cut out of this additional money.
Yeah, because the federal budget is going to hurt. It's
yes.
going to be
yes.
painful.
There is a hospital, I believe it's in Nebraska, that announced this morning it is closing. It's a rural hospital in Nebraska that has announced this morning it's going to be closing because of the cuts coming to Medicaid.
And if a hospital is closing, and we discussed this before when we talked about the two hospitals in northwestern Wisconsin, it wasn't just hospitals. It was clinics, too, that
yes.
closed. And we're going to see a lot of care being taken away from people, a lot of access to health care. And, you know, folks are going to have to drive. I mean, some folks in Nebraska, I'm going to guess that hospital probably could be 30, 40, 50 minutes away.
Oh, more.
Which means you take that away from them. The next hospital may be hours away.
Yep.
So
it's interesting, too. I heard a comment while I was listening to Pat Kreitler when I was driving in this morning talking about Mary Falskowski who is a Republican here in Wisconsin, essentially was going off on hospitals. And from what I gleaned, and again, this was when I was driving in this morning, she's got to say, you know, hospitals are greedy. And we can't let hospitals be greedy.
So are lawmakers.
So are insurance companies.
So are insurance companies.
I mean, isn't there a lot of greed to go around?
So are the billionaires that they want to pass tax cuts for. I'd like to see. Okay. Yeah. Show me. What hospital is greedy?
Well, and if you want to start talking, I don't know. We never talk about cutting CEO pay. We don't.
No. No. We never do. In fact, if anything, we give money to corporations and they use that money to like golden parachute. The banking industry, well, we bailed them out.
Yeah, it seems like CEO is the one place where you can be a failure and still get a golden parachute on the way out.
Well, also, I mean, feel like you could cut the pay of some of these CEOs in half and they're still going to be wildly rich.
They'd still be really, really rich. So what did Popcorn King have to say about the budget? Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, this is from WPR, acknowledged that Congress and Trump are keen on capping Medicaid. Quote, look, I would not necessarily have a problem with having reform of the system, says Robin, but I think as long as it's allowed under federal law, the state of Wisconsin should be no different. We should take advantage of that by doing this hospital assessment. Unquote.
Let's do a hospital assessment. I'd love to do a hospital assessment. Let's look into our hospitals in Wisconsin and see what they need and see how important they are and see how they may need more hospitals around the area. But, you know, that's not what Robin thinks. And that's not what he means. He's not about helping. I mean, we still don't give new moms Medicaid after 60 days. So why would he think that hospitals are necessary?
Well, yeah, exactly. The Wisconsin congressional delegation largely focusing on the budget's permanent extension of federal tax cuts that were passed during Trump's first term in 2016. Brian Stile and Tony Weed took a little selfie as they were heading back to Washington to vote on the budget bill for President Trump. We're going to talk about that in just a minute and exactly... apparently what the deciding factor was for some lawmakers who had been a holdout on the federal budget might not be exactly what you expected.
Oh, there's
an interesting article in the New York Times this morning about the little parade of lawmakers that went and met with the president yesterday and the little parting gifts that they got in order to vote for the budget.
They're disgusting. They're not holding, and that's a.
They're working for us, Greg.
Prove it.
They're working for us.
Brian Stile, my congressman, prove that. Prove it.
Have you ever called his office?
No, because I don't want to get mad.
I was this close yesterday because we talk about it all the time. Myvote.wi.gov.
And we really should, honestly. I mean, I was going to say we should call tomorrow, but they'll be off.
They'll be off. Yeah. Well, that's another reason why I think they pushed to get this done so quickly is because they want to go home. But I think we should all call them and ask about that sculpture garden that $40 million we're setting aside for a sculpture garden, a garden of heroes. I found more details about that.
Great.
So we'll share that coming up in just a little bit. Don't forget, Jim Santel is going to be here after the 9:30 news. Jim Santel, host of Amicus, a law review that you can catch on Saturday mornings from 9 until 11 across the Civic Media Radio Network, talking about budget. The budget in Wisconsin signed overnight. Governor Tony Evers signing off on the document about 1:30 in the morning. And now I guess the question is, we'll have to wait and see if Governor Evers plans to run for a third term. He said he would wait until the budget was done. Mm-hmm. Bill from Econawalk is on the line. Good morning, Bill. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, great show. I can't emphasize enough about calling these people's offices. One of two things will happen when you call. Most cases, you'll get a voice recording, which is just fine. And I leave a message that I need to talk to you. It's very important about your job because you work for me.
Yep.
But given the current state of our politics, I don't expect you to return this call. So keep doing that. Keep ignoring America and see how that works at the voter polls or at the voting booth.
I appreciate that, Bill. Yeah, call them. They ostensibly work for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Ostensibly.
We pay them.
We do pay them. MyVote.wi.gov. It's a tool.
Yeah.
It's meant to be used.
Exactly.
Stay close. The Sculpture Garden. More details coming up. A good use of $40 million of taxpayer money. You're listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Are you ever questioning when life will slow down? Are you ever thinking of just relaxing and enjoying the simple things? All of this is possible, even while still being in the workforce. Worthington, Minnesota is a town growing, yet it's nothing like metro life. Professional and labor jobs, a beautiful lake, bike trails, recreation, acres of public hunting, festivals, and great people. Slow down. We're just a short drive away. So come join us. Worthington, it's worth a look.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Years ago, I had I think I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, sure, you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in just a little bit, Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review, Saturdays 9 to 11 across the network. Jim will be joining us. Going to be talking about a number of things happening with the Trump administration and immigration and citizenship and all of those things. So stick around for Jim Santel. He does a great job. You should listen on Saturdays too.
Oh, absolutely. And this is a great time to talk about civicmedia.us/shows.
Yes.
Go to the show's website. You can find our episodes, all the shows that we have, but you can find Jim's the archives of his show. It is mini law school classes every single week.
So
and
good.
Last week, two episodes. There was a Saturday and a Sunday. There's so much happening. So yeah, go to civicmedia.us/shows and download those episodes. You can play them whenever you like. Get them on your device or get a subscribe to them as a podcast. All right, that's my pitch. I'm done.
Speaking of pitches, if you want a great article about the Wisconsin state budget, Dan Schaefer was up late along with Charlie Pittman, our news director, and other people in the Civic Media News Department. Go to civicmedia.us, click on news, and there is this terrific, again, article from Dan Schaefer on there and from other folks in our wonderful news department talking about the budget deal.
I'll make sure that article is also linked in the show notes as well. So it's easy to find it.
Before we get to the budget in Washington, which they're still, Hakeem Jeffries has been speaking for like 5 hours. But we're going to talk about some details in a minute. Jean from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thank you for joining us.
Great show. I think there's been 151 so far with the great James Santel. Haven't missed one. Outstanding. Recommend it to everybody. Everybody could use a little lesson in the law.
Yep.
And government. And I just was wondering, well, first of all, I want to thank you so much for bringing up that important detail of why Tony Evers had to sign in the middle of the night.
Yep.
This is, happens to be a habit of people with R after their name going late in the evening, overnight, till everybody can't hardly stay awake. I think that's, you know, I mean, boy, you got to sleep a nap or have a plate bed in your room when you, you know, where you're working there. And also the important detail of losing funding. I think that's significant. And I've been between watching that, listening to what's going on, and watching our government, it is so unbelievable to me. I'm 70. I've watched for years. I got totes full of notebooks of things that have gone on to get us where we are today, and it started in Wisconsin. There's hope for us, but right away, you're gonna don't get depressed. Because this is something that we're all going to do together. We have to do it together. And that is to begin organizing in small groups and getting people to run to get these people out of office. Because we can do it. And it all depends on us. Tony Evers couldn't do it alone, cannot do it alone. People with a D after the name cannot do it alone. They need all of us because, really, we need to be active and we're important.
Yep.
So we can't just expect everybody to do our business. We need to help. Thank you so much. Keep up the great job. And really appreciate you guys.
Oh, thank you so much, Jean. And Jean is a great example. Again, she's in her 70s. She's very, very active.
Very. They know her. She calls. Which is great. And honestly, like, it's hard not to get so angry and frustrated and so just, I mean, because we live in this. This is what we do for a living. And I will be honest with everybody. I'd spend the past few days, weeks, have been hard watching this budget trounce through. That's why, like, for me, the Wisconsin state budget started like, this feels like a win.
Right,
and
the
Wisconsin state Supreme Court on the abortion ruling, too. Like, those feel good. I feel like those are movements in the right direction. Are they perfect? Nothing's perfect.
No.
But this federal bill is something that we need to be very aware of, every aspect. And when it goes through and folks who are like, these guys are great, we love them, when they start losing their benefits, when they start their hospitals closing, their taxes go up, you got to remember where this came from.
But you know what, Greg?
What?
We'll all be able to go to a garden and forget all our troubles.
Only, Jane, if it's a garden full of heroes.
In the National Garden of American Heroes that we mentioned yesterday, this is in the federal budget bill, $40 million. $40 million to celebrate the 250th birthday of America next year. There's a great article in CNN from today about this.
Yeah.
And what this will require in order to make it happen. There's kind of a problem with a bunch of this stuff. Again, point A, what happens if we do A, then what is B, and what is C, and what is D?
Yeah.
We have one sculptor who says it can take 10 years for a project like this to be done right.
Oh, done right? They don't care done about right.
Yeah. There are many ways to go about this. Doesn't seem like anyone has thought about this. This is not a well thought out plan.
No,
really?
And they haven't even started.
No, they haven't. And artists who want to do this and sculpt one of these statues, they only have until September.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be done by next year, July. $40 million.
Yeah.
But we have hospital closing.
Mm-hmm.
We have child care centers closing. We have all kinds of other, but thank goodness, we're going to have a garden of heroes.
Hey, to our MAGA listeners, because we know you're out there, you like to tell us what we look like. Make this one make sense. How is this a good use of dollars?
Please, I'd love to know.
Yes.
We got news on the way. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, WXCO. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. The months-long biennial budget process in Wisconsin is complete. Jimmy Cuska has the details.
At 1:32 a.m. Thursday, Governor Tony Evers signed the budget bill now known as 2025 Act 15 into law. The bill passed the state Senate late Wednesday evening.
There are 19 ayes, 14 noes, and the bill is passed.
Then it was the Assembly's turn voting after midnight.
There are 59 ayes and 39 noes. Senate Bill 45 is concurred in.
The Assembly gaveled out at 12:49 a.m. Thursday, capping a marathon session to finish the state legislature's end of the budget process.
Wisconsin State Assembly is adjourned.
The budget bill passed with bipartisan support in both chambers. Assembly Representative and co-chair of the Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee, Mark Bourne, said that this year's budget came about the same way as other recent budget bills.
Every budget that has come through this committee since Governor Evers has been in office has been a bipartisan budget because Republicans have crafted most of it, which is still true with this document, and the governor has signed it.
Governor Evers said after signing the bill that he never seriously considered vetoing the entire budget, as it would have jeopardized over $1 billion in healthcare funding, as well as investments in childcare, special education reimbursement, the UW system, and infrastructure. Evers issued 23 partial vetoes, several of them due to a lack of funding provided for the Nelson Knowles Stewardship Program. In signing the bill, Evers said that the compromise between both parties in the legislature, along with the governor's office, led to the creation of a bipartisan budget. 7 Democrats in the Assembly and 5 in the Senate voted to pass the budget. 4 Republicans in the Senate and 1 in the Assembly voted against the bill. Evers touted the impact that the budget will have on families and said, quote, "The budget is proof of what we can all accomplish when we put politics aside." The final price tag on the budget is $111.1 billion.
The full budget bill and veto message is available on our website at civicmedia.us. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Big Brother Season 27 is about to drop, but there is an exciting new twist, according to the people who created said twist. Variety says three contestants from previous seasons will drop by every Friday night to analyze the sitch. Other highlights for this coming season will include a mystery hotel theme and a living room with chess guardians, whatever that means. Season 27 of Big Brother drops July 10th on CBS. In other Season 27 news, the creators of South Park are not happy about the delay in their latest season reaching viewers. Trey Parker and Matt Stone are blaming the Paramount merger with Skydance for the long wait between seasons. Season 26 finished 2 years ago. A recent update was that the new season would drop July 9, but that has been pushed back again to July 27. Just guessing, we will see Parker and Stone's frustration with the networks in a South Park episode in the near future. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm later today and tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today with a high right around 85 this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop into the low to mid 60s. Tomorrow, sunny, hot, and humid with a high in the upper 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Why do we want to be proud to be an American? Why are we celebrating the United States?
Let's say that you're going to define America in political terms. I define it in terms of what the Founding Fathers did in 1776. An ideal that we are still trying to fully live up to. That all men, all people, I would say, are created equal. All Americans are represented by the stars and stripes. I love the 4th of July.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Dan Schaefer, political editor at Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will be here to update us live on the latest of the state budget and another holiday edition of What's Worse. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, where you can join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, Paul Noonan will join us from the Acme Packing Company to talk all things sports. Things looking pretty good for the Brewers. Lots of things going on with the Bucks. So Paul Noonan will be here to give us an update. That is after 10:30 news. Right now, he joins us every week at this time from Amicus, a law review, which you can catch Saturday mornings 9 to 11 across the network. Jim Santel is here. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Jane, Greg, always a delight to be with you, especially as we look forward to what the 249th anniversary of our nation.
Yes.
That's a good thing, right? We have, we have much to celebrate, even in the midst of our great and profound challenges, right?
Yes, profound challenges, exactly. I did want to do this before we went to the news, but I didn't get around to it. We had all these holdouts, you know, of the budget in Washington. A lot of House members saying, no, I'm not going to vote for this. This is terrible. I will never, ever vote. And then, of course, their house band for the Republicans is Spineless Capitulation. That's just their band. Because everybody caved. But apparently they didn't cave without some parting gifts. From the New York Times this morning, a clique of House Freedom Caucus members walked out of the White House early yesterday afternoon, seemingly adjusting their attitudes. Representative Tim Burchett from Tennessee posted, quote, "The president was wonderful as always, informative, funny. He told me he likes seeing me on TV, which is kind of cool."
He loves TV.
Byron Donald says, "Do you know, did you show them what he signed for you?" "Oh, yeah, he signed a bunch of stuff. It's so cool." So they went in to meet with Donald Trump, and he gave them some autographed souvenirs, and then and they got to take pictures with him too, apparently, some of them, and then sent them on their way, and they voted for the bill.
You can get presidential M&Ms and pens and lanyards, all kinds of things, frankly, true of every administration. It's trinkets, it's nice, shiny things, and at the risk of again, overstating the simplicity of this, it is dramatically traumatic that our representatives make decisions based upon getting stuff that they can give their family members and kids. From the recent visit I had with the president at the White House, this is not how it's supposed to work.
Yeah, no, this isn't about, this shouldn't be a thing.
I went to the White House and all I got was this lousy bill.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, let's turn our attention to other things. Let's focus, start with Jim, the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision on abortion that came down yesterday.
Right. And it's a very significant piece of writing from our Supreme Court. You've got a majority, and it's authored by Rebecca Dallet, who is, again, among majority. And she is taking up this 1849 legislation that has been the subject of a review ever since Roe versus Wade was overturned in 2022. It bans anyone who destroys the life of an unborn child, 6 years in prison, $10,000 fine. And the argument was, well, again, that's the default legislation. That's the law in the state of Wisconsin. A whole bunch of litigation goes on. Eventually, you've got a lower court that says, no, it no longer applies. And yes, indeed, yesterday, the Supreme Court agrees with it and says this: comprehensive legislation enacted over the last 50 years since the time of this initial piece of legislation regulating in detail the who, the what, the where, the when, and the how of abortion, so thoroughly covers the entire subject of abortion that it was meant as a substitute for the 19th century near total ban on abortion. The bar is usually high for implied repeals. That's the litigation. That's the lawyer word for this. But the majority found the legislature had met that bar by entirely revising the law on abortion. It is no longer the law of the land. And again, we can move on. Plainly, the issue is not resolved yet. This simply, again, gets rid of the 1849 legislation and does permit abortion now to go ahead in Wisconsin. Will there be, do we know about other challenges nationwide, including some focuses on amazing issues like when does life begin? And that may begin, be resurfacing at some point, if not here in Wisconsin, around the nation. But this is a good decision. This is a solid decision. And again, it is premised upon a balanced and thoughtful reasoning by the majority.
Oh, I just want to reiterate this maybe with a little less lawyer speak. So right. the court decided that the ban from 1849 no longer held because there had been so much legislation after 1849 that amended this measure that the 1849 law was no longer the standard. Is that accurate?
That's exactly right. And so, for example, Justice Bradley goes on to say, all the legislation since that time, all the laws since that time have given us great clarity and plainly, implicitly, and explicitly, they overruled what was done back in 1849. She says, who may perform abortions? Only doctors. Where can they be performed? Within 30 miles of a hospital. Goes on to describe all the things that have happened since 1849. And she says, every conceivable question about abortion has been answered by the legislature since then. 1849 no longer holds. The world has moved on. And again, 2025, we're now here in contemporary Wisconsin. Again, good news, not without its critics, obviously, but it makes perfect sense, not only in terms of the policy, which is all about privacy rights again, right? It's about bodies and decisions that you can make about your own body, privacy rights. It's that affirmation once again. And it also makes sense legally, in terms of the way that legislation works and the ways that judges decide on how these things should come out.
The question I have, because people said it in a roundabout way in the papers, is the 1849 law just rescinded? Is it gone? Or does it still stay in the ether like it always has in the background? That's the question I have. Because I can imagine with this decision, certain individuals in positions of power will want to do, I don't know, put things on the ballot for a constitutional amendment or do other ways of referring back to this law. Does that law now no longer exist?
The answer is, of course, it's still in our history. Mm-hmm. Unlike our current president who liked to erase a lot of history, this too is a part of our history. It is still out there.
Okay.
There are really two answers to the question. One, it is no longer legally in effect. And so it is dead for that purpose. But Greg, to your very good question, in a democracy, what happens is we have legislatures that can indeed resurrect issues and pass new legislation. We've got judges who can decide things in different ways down the road. That's the beauty and also some of the challenge of the country in which we live. But for today, once again, 1849, the restriction, the limitation, the ban on abortion in Wisconsin no longer exists. And what that means is now doctors and their patients can go ahead with the certainty that they will not be the subject of any criminal prosecution in the state of Wisconsin. That, once again, the privacy right that the Supreme Court has upheld.
Jim Santel is our guest. He's host of Amicus, a law review Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, across the Civic Media Radio Network. I highly encourage you to check it out. We're talking about the decision this week by the Wisconsin Supreme Court and the 1849 abortion ban. From what I understand, Jim, this decision just goes back now to what the situation was in Wisconsin before Dobbs fell.
Right, exactly.
So any restrictions that were in place at that point will still be in place.
Right, and again, legislators can can tinker with all those kinds of things. But the whole idea behind what Justice Alito did back in June of 2022 was to say, no longer a federal issue, no longer protected by the federal constitution. So states, you figure it out. And that's why people went back and said, well, okay, back in Wisconsin, we've got this 1849 thing. Here, it's banned now, at the invitation, candidly, of Justice Alito and the other justices back in 2022. Wisconsin has now answered his question and said, no, here in Wisconsin, the privacy right is still there, cannot criminalize abortion. It is legal in Wisconsin. We join that map of many other states out there that have done the same thing, either by a referendum, by a judicial decision, or by some legislative enactment of various kinds. You can do that all different ways. Here we have a judicial order finding the 1849 law is no longer in effect. And we can now once again embrace privacy rights here in Wisconsin.
Rebecca Bradley was the conservative justice who wrote the dissent, right? Boy, she had another meltdown.
Right. Rebecca Dallet wrote the majority and Bradley wrote the dissent.
The dissent,
and
yeah.
She has been obviously very, very critical, not only of this, but of new members joining the bench. As we know, coming up on August 1, we've got a new justice of the Supreme Court. You know, once again, you look at those kinds of comments. Judges, for the most part, when they speak at universities, sometimes they will comment generally upon their work. But judges speak from their written comments and from their oral comments during oral argument. These attacks that are personal in nature, that suggest that there is something more nefarious going on, they're not judicial, regardless of what side of the political aisle you're on. And it is unfortunate, at best, once again, I'm being very diplomatic.
You are.
With Justice Bradley, Rebecca Bradley, that is, not Ann Walsh Bradley, Rebecca Bradley, those kinds of comments do nothing but frankly, bring more disrepute upon members of the judiciary. This is what Ketanji Brown Jackson's been talking about recently. When you engage in these ad hominem attacks, whether you're other judges, she's talking about the president in particular, what do? You send a message to everybody out there that, well, maybe I don't have to follow this because one judge or one president or one legislature told me that they're all crazy.
Yeah.
And that is a very dangerous thing to do. And so what Rebecca Bradley has done here does not help the rule of law in Wisconsin and, frankly, damages it dramatically.
But it's also on brand. I mean, her speech the night that Susan Crawford won was, I mean, look, I don't agree with what she said at all. But even if I did, I'd be like, hey, you can't
tone it down.
You can't talk like that. Right. I mean, and also I was listening to Maggie's show. I think it was sometime this week. They were talking about this. Justice Dallet was getting flack for speaking at an organization, I believe. But Rebecca Bradley spoke at the RNC, like this thing of like, I'm all for judges not being partisan at all. I'm all for judges, if they have to run for office, running as bipartisan as possible. But that's not the world we live in. But there's also something to be said about the way you comport yourself and the way Justice Bradley does, which is just visceral and mega and just to the hilt.
If you listen once again, as we all did at the time of Susan Crawford's election, and even you pull it up today, I suspect it's very much in the annals of this very broadcast here. When you listen to what she said that night, it's not simply saying, well, I voted in an opposite direction. It is way beyond that. And basically saying it's going to be very difficult for me to work on the bench. That sort of thing, even in terms of inter-justice collegiality, none whatsoever. And it is violent language. That should be condemned. You're right, Greg.
Let's put on our big justice robes, maybe. Jim Santel is here. We're going to continue our conversation. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Get ready, Wausau. The 8th Annual Munn Wausau Festival is back.
July 26th and 27th at the People's Sports Complex. It's fun for the whole family. Enjoy thrilling sports tournaments, vibrant dancing and singing competitions, and mouthwatering cuisine you won't forget. It's one of the largest MUN festivals in the Midwest, and you're invited. Tickets are just $11 at the door. Kids under 10 and seniors over 65 get in free. Don't miss the celebration of culture, community, and tradition. See you there.
If you need to hire, it seems like the whole process can be exhausting. You search resumes, wait for the right candidates to apply, set up initial interviews. It's a lot of time and work. Well, what if you could meet with qualified candidates for your job the very next day? Now you can with Zip Intro from ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. Zip Intro is super easy to use. You simply pick a time, and it does all the work of finding and scheduling qualified candidates for you. Then you can choose who you want to talk to and meet with great people on back-to-back video calls as soon as the next day. Best of all, you save time and energy.
Try Zip Intro for free right now at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/free. Zip Intro. Post jobs today. Talk to qualified candidates tomorrow. Once again, go to ZipRecruiter.com/free to try it for free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to like bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matinee on Air, getting into our smooth jazz
groove
here. Jane Matinier, Greg Bach, and the Calvinator on the board coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are going to be off tomorrow. It's the 4th of July, so we will be off and running a specially curated best of show for you, but free ticket Fridays will go on.
Correct.
So you want to listen, starting with Pat Kreitlow between 6 and 9, our show 9 to 11, Tom Hartman 11 to 2, Todd Alba, we're going on the road, from 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. We will have a keyword for you. You want to text in via the Civic Media app, and then you are in the running for a 4-pack of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets when they take on...
The Washington Senator. Okay, the Washington Nationals.
Got it right.
Next week on July the 11th.
All right. Free Ticket Friday is going to be happening tomorrow. So just make sure you download the Civic Media app and you're ready for that.
It will be interesting to see in the chat, like, because the chats come through with who will be listening.
That's
while
true.
While we're on vacation.
That's true.
Will you be listening, listeners?
No pressure.
No pressure.
Just send you a note afterwards and say, where were you? We missed you. Jim Sandell is here, our friend and colleague and host of Amicus, a law review across the network Saturday mornings from 9 until 11. There have been a number of things happening in the courts, Jim, including giving parents the option to opt out. They're taking their kids out of classes that contain LGBTQ plus materials.
Yes, this is, we've talked about this before, and I think all of us looked at this and thought, please tell us we're not going to go in this direction. Well, the Supreme Court decided to do just that. This comes out of Maryland. It's a group of parents who are insisting on getting the right to opt out, to take their youngsters, their grade school children, out of those segments of their education in public schools where, horror of horrors, we might read a storybook that talks about two dads or two mothers, or the notion that everybody, regardless of who they are, is to be loved and cared for. And the Supreme Court decided, again, based upon religious grounds, not a surprise coming from the Supreme Court, you voice a religious objection to your child hearing about stories of LGBT people. And in America today, you can demand in Maryland and now beyond in other school districts, presumably, you can demand that your child be taken out of that portion of the instruction where that school, that storybook, that school story is read or recited. It is stunning in its narrow view. But beyond that, one thinks about this more broadly. And there have to be school boards. I hope there are school boards and superintendents and parents across the country who are thinking about the consequences of this. Suppose I say, again, this is not true, but about me.
Sure,
suppose
it's a
hypothetical. I say that my religion tells me, Jane, that you should not be in a professional position like hosting a significant radio show. You should stay home. And you should cook and you should clean. My religion tells me that. And I don't want my child to be read any story about Jane Matinier going to work and meeting with Greg Bach and being on the air or doing anything that's professional. My religion tells me that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm going to go to my school district and say, you know what? I don't want Jane, I don't want John to be exposed to that. According to the Supreme Court, I've got a right to have my child opted out, and you can think about many other examples, but opted out of that kind of instruction. Religion, once again, not surprising, when you raise religion to this court, you get not a pass, but you get a higher approval of rating, if you will, from the court. And here you've got a consequence that is far beyond. It is offensive. It's offensive to the LGBT, to all of us, right? Interestingly, here's the other piece. If you want to do nothing else this coming 4th of July weekend, and yeah, you probably do have other things to do, pull up the Supreme Court decision in this case. It comes out of Maryland, and you'll see that attached to both Sonia Sotomayor's vicious, virulent, appropriate dissent, and also to the majority opinion, are color excerpts from these books. They very seldom do that. You can see page after page in the appendix to these opinions showing you exactly what these books are all about. I read them and I think, yes, what's the big deal?
And
plainly the majority thinks, see, this is what we're talking about. Sonia Sotomayor looks at this and says, this is how benign, this is how loving, caring, this is the lesson from one of the books that she attaches in particular, which is all about making certain that I'm still a part of the family in which my uncle is a part of my family, getting married to his friend now.
Well,
and that's obviously, we can't have that in schools anymore.
Well, and
it's stunning.
We don't have a whole lot of time left, Jim, but I'm assuming because people can claim this now on religious grounds, what if I'm a non-religious parent? Can I go to school and say, based on my non-religion, I am pulling my kid out of this class, which teaches Christian theology.
Right. Or even more broadly, it just talks about religions of the world generally, right? That's obviously the next case. It opens up this terrible door and once again suggests that local teachers and administrators do not have the professional responsibility to make these decisions. That's what they do. That's how we pay them. That's what they're schooled in. Let them teach, again, not without some limitations, without curriculums. Let them do their jobs without this nitpicking. And if, in fact, there is a teacher who goes off in some other area, fine, you can remedy that. That is not this case. That's the problem we're now facing in America as a result of this major Supreme Court decision just last Friday. Schools open again in a few weeks. We'll see how this plays out.
Jim Santel hosts Amicus, a law review on Saturday mornings, 9 to 11, across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you so very much, Jim. Happy 4th of July.
We'll see you next week.
Happy 4th of July. 249 years. Take care.
Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. For almost 5 hours, Democrat Hakeem Jeffries has been stalling the final vote on President Trump's tax and spending bill.
I'm here to take my sweet time on behalf of the American people.
But Majority Leader Steve Scalise says,
you can vote no all day long and you can hide behind billionaires all day long, but we're going to keep moving forward because this country doesn't sit down in the fetal position. America's ready for a rebirth and we're going to deliver it.
The June jobs report is out and better than expected. The economy added 147,000 jobs last month. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger on one particularly strong sector.
Healthcare was up by 39,000, a consistent creator of jobs in the economy.
While state and local governments added a lot of jobs in June, the federal government